Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com joins us right now. And Pete, this is fun because 5 days out and 5 days before, it means we're right in the heart of analysis season, right? This is when we can really break down some things, both on the win against the Bears and on the Vikings team that's coming up. And now you've got some tape on the Vikings. Your thoughts on their first performance in that win over Atlanta?
Yeah, pretty impressive. They can run the ball. That's basically how they won that game. What did Cousins throw, 10 passes, right?
Yeah.
I think the difference, one difference in this could be the Packers probably have a pretty good run defense. Now, it's, you know, it's only one game and all of that. But if you look at their personnel, the two Smiths, you know, neither one, they both rush the passer pretty well against the Bears. Neither one's a, you know, a high-end pass rusher. They're not Von Miller or anything like that. But they're complete players. They're big guys. They're good run stoppers. I think the Packers probably will by the end of the season, will be a noticeably better run defense than Atlanta was. So that probably gives them a better chance, at least in an early season game against the Vikings, assuming Minnesota's going to keep trying to feed Dalvin Cook the ball.
And I think the other part of playing good defense against the run, too, is that at this moment, it feels to me like the Packers can't get gashed against the pass the way they were even a couple of years ago. The evolution of the secondary has been a fascinating thing to watch because it went from that low point, you know, Julio Jones in the NFC title game, to where we are now, where you've got this combination of a Jair Alexander, you know, Kevin King when he's in there is making things happen, and now Adrian Amos in the mix as well. That, to me, easily the most improved position on this roster overall, right? I'm not crazy in thinking that.
No, and you can include Savage in that too. He's just an explosive player. They have more athleticism there than they did. You know, remember, I mean, Ladarius Gunter, they had him covering Julio Jones, and Gunter, he was a tough guy and all that stuff, but he ran like a 4.7 something. You can't have a cornerback who runs that. You can't compete. And I still think a huge key will be for the season is if King can stay healthy and play in most of the games and still be playing in December. That defense is just noticeably better when he and Alexander are both out there. Then they're really strong on the outside. But I think you got to throw Savage in there too with Amos. They're just way better at safety. Amos is a really steady guy, and Savage brings a dynamic element back there that they've been lacking since Nick Collins' career ended.
Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, joining us here on the Bill Michaels Show. And we've been looking offensively at what the Packers did against the Bears. Again, you start the season against, I consider the Bears an elite level defense. They were tough, definitely, in that opener. And part of that is stopping the run. But I see Jamal Williams in the 0 yards. And I'm trying not to get too nervous about that just because of the level of defense. But Minnesota's defense pretty strong as well. Do you see it getting maybe a little better for Jamal in this second game?
My guess is that the Vikings defense is not as good as the Bears. I don't think they have the great players the Bears have. And as good as Kendricks is, I'm thinking Roquan Smith is better. They don't have anybody at Khalil Mack's level. I don't think either of their tackles is as good as Akeem Hicks. So I would think the Packers will run the ball a little better. The run game is going to be the slowest thing to come, because in the preseason these guys just don't play at all. And there's a lot of timing, even though they ran a zone scheme predominantly under McCarthy. There's, these offenses and these zone schemes are all different depending on who's running them. There's a lot of nuance and idiosyncrasies in each scheme. So there's a lot for the players to learn to get all that timing down and all that. So I think they run it better now. I mean, obviously, Williams is a good football player and he's a guy you want on your team, but he's definitely not Aaron Jones with the ball in his hands. So they still, they need to get what they can out of Jones, but you can't get him too many touches or he's going to get hurt. That's his history already, just 2 years into his career.
We've seen in this game against Chicago something that we have not seen in many, many, many years, which is this excitement of getting a coach his first win as a Packers coach, because McCarthy was around for a long, long time. So that experience of getting the win for a coach and that sort of momentum boost that comes from it, we finally saw Thursday night. And sure, there's all kinds of excitement in the locker room. You can hear it in the postgame speeches. My question is, it's been 5 days. Is that something that you crash down from, or is it something that they can keep going and have that excitement going into the second game? Can they maintain that?
I don't know. It's something you probably, to some degree, maybe just like the bad things, you just have to move on and go on to the next one. I mean, I was looking at this yesterday. In the opener last year, Tampa Bay beat New Orleans 48-40, and Tampa Bay ended up firing their coach at the end of the year and winning five or six games. I mean, the Colts started 1-5, made the playoffs. Houston started 0-3, made the playoffs. Miami started 3-0 and didn't make it, and they fired their coach. So weird things happen in the first couple weeks of the season, too. Teams don't have their identity. The coaches are figuring out their players and what they do well and what they don't. So, I still think the Packers' offense is going to be it's going to be fits and starts because they have a new scheme. But I would guess this week should be at least a little better than last week because, if nothing else, they've learned the lesson that they want to keep the tempo going faster and they spent a little too much time at the line of scrimmage or a little too much time in the huddle last week.
Pete, I want to jump, since you mentioned Miami, I want to jump topics for just a second because the Dolphins situation is just a hot mess. I mean, there was a loss and then all of this talk afterwards about players asking to be traded, you know, asking their agents to request trades after the first game of a regular season. Where I'm going is there's been the thought of that Miami is playing for down the road, doing what Cleveland did a couple of years ago. That's not my concern so much as it is the thought that players can think in that realm after one game of a regular season, right after we saw Antonio Brown do what he did. Doesn't it seem like there's just a little streak of the NFL from a player standpoint trying to feel a bit like the NBA where guys are, you know, it could be a game in and already you're thinking about playing for a different team and forming different teams, you know, let's go join the Patriots kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really ugly after a week down there. But, you know, players don't have, in the NFL, there's so few that have the leverage that the NBA's stars have. Antonio Brown can work it out where he can get out, but how many players can really do that? There's just not many. All these guys could go request trades. Team's not going to trade them. What are they going to do? They can't afford to sit out. Their NFL players' careers are so short. Players are more interchangeable than they are in the NBA. So I think they just don't have the leverage. But it does, you know, it's a highly emotional reaction for the players who are they're mad. They were embarrassed with the way things went. You know, I just don't think any of those guys has any leverage to get themselves traded. And, you know, we'll learn something about Flores, too, if he can hold this thing together and right that ship and win a couple games, then that'll say something about him too.
Pete, as in the job that you're in, did you like having a Thursday opener? Did you get some rest over the weekend?
Loved. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah, I was able to go golf on Saturday and I watched a lot of football on Sunday, and it was great. Just like quarterbacks and journalists, they love those Thursday games.
I mean, it's true because it gives you 10 days in between, but there's probably no better situation to do that than week one to week two, because if you, like the Eagles game that's coming up, there's going to be a Sunday game against the Broncos and then a Thursday game against the Eagles, which means all your work gets condensed into 3 days. But to do it to start the season, I almost feel like everybody should play on Thursday to start the year. It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was really nice. Now, it still kind of condensed things because you have all the season preview stuff that you're doing, and that kind of got condensed because you didn't have a couple extra days. But it's like having a mini bye, and it's funny that the Packers actually have two of those this year because they play in just a few weeks. They play Philadelphia on a Thursday and have another weekend off. So those are nice breaks. I think the guys who play the more physical part of the game, I don't think they're digging it because that's not a lot of recovery time for the body. But The quarterbacks and the people sitting safe up in the press box, I think, like it.
You got that right. Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Appreciate the insights. We will see you this weekend at Lambeau.
Okay, thanks for having me, Kevin.
Pete is always there with the Packers. And, you know, I'm not joking about that. I mean, this 10 days between games, guys are going to do stuff day to day for months. So to get a couple of days off is a good thing. Pete Doherty joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.